Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good morning, everyone. Praise God. Would you welcome the person on your right, the person on your left? Amen. Glory be to God. So happy to see all of us. All right. So we're discussing about how to grow the church, right? Many of us believe that's like a very good thing to talk about. Huh? Or you think it's a bad thing? It's a very good thing to talk about. Very, very good thing. So we need to look at it. I think yesterday was a last day of the teen summer class, right? All right. Can we thank God for that? Can we thank God? Amen. I think we should even have a culture of doing Thanksgiving after God helps us to cross a milestone. We'll have, don't throw away ancient landmarks. There's a reason why those churches will do Thanksgiving. When they have a child, they do Thanksgiving. Everything they do. When somebody retires, they do Thanksgiving. It's born out of revelation. So I want us to learn to do Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You know, with rejoicing, with praise, and even with an offering. Let's practice it so that you are looking forward to your next Thanksgiving, you know, because something next will happen. You know, let's have that culture. Let's not be a new generation. Let being a new generation, let it not be defined by losing the important things of the previous generation. Praise God. To be new is not to be foolish. So I have to, before I go into my teaching, I have two things to say. It's like a word of knowledge, but it's a simple thing. I want to encourage you not to ever see or make someone a leader in the house of the Lord on the basis of their gifts or talents. Never try that. Never be mesmerized by people's gifts or what? Or talents in the local assembly. Never. Don't be, however impressed you are about somebody's gift or talent, don't bring it into leadership. Do you understand that? Except you want to spoil what you are doing. The most important thing for leadership in the local assembly is the heart posture. Do you understand that? You might need gift for crusade meet, for a crusade. You understand? If you want to put somebody on a crusade, if you want an evangelist, you don't get somebody who is not an evangelist to mount the pulpit on a crusade. You see? But in the local assembly, You don't need the giftings are not primary. You see, because the blessing of a local assembly, the blessing in it, what makes a local assembly a blessing is the accuracy in the manner by which we gather. Do you understand that? The strength of a local assembly is not the gift of one person. Are we together here? It is in the wisdom and the accuracy of our gathering. You see? But when you make someone a leader, because of their giftings, or you promote somebody because of their giftings, you are bringing a type of offense. You see, you're offending the purity of that gathering. Huh? Because there is meant to be a childlikeness, hard posture. You see, for a local assembly to prosper, the way God will have it prosper. You see, so the gift is not an evidence of a right heart. Eh? What did I say? Neither is it an evidence of a bad heart. Eh? But my point is, do not bring it into consideration when you are thinking leadership or promotion in the house of the Lord. That's very important. So as leaders and emerging leaders, I want you to put that in your soul. You see? Because the pain and the destruction that one who is not ready but gifted is made a leader is not easy to unpack. Is unpack the word? It's not, unpack might not be the word. It's not easy. The pain and the destruction it can cause, it's not easy to clear it. It's not easy to deal with it. So it's better it doesn't even get there. Are you together with me? Don't. Listen, in a local assembly, if you have the right heart, everything will be fine. You don't need a teacher. You don't need a prophet. You don't need all of that. You know why? With the right heart, a prophet will come out of it. A teacher will come out of it. Yeah. The Lord will reward the hearts with abilities and with giftings. But the heart first. So you see, when you see somebody who can teach and see somebody who can serve, and the person who can teach does not like to serve, you understand? Don't do anything with the person who can teach. The person who can serve will be ministering what that person who can teach is meant to be teaching, but it will not be ministering it in life form. There are two levels of preaching. The one we say with our mouth, but the one we release with our lives. Now, the one we release with our lives is the one that causes change. Do you understand that? So you don't ever forget that. And generally, you see, even when you want to get married, women, especially women, don't marry somebody because of their gifts. Never, don't do that. Don't marry somebody. What are gifts? Gifts is maybe the person's brilliance. Maybe person is the best tech person in your village. Or the person is handsome. Yeah? Sorry. Amen. Or the person is handsome. We're not sure whether it's a laugh or a cough. All right. Sorry, Bisada. We're not laughing at you. We're not sure. It looked like a laugh. Or whether the person is handsome. Do you understand? Or the person knows how to dress. See, those are gifts and talents. Don't marry anybody because of that. Marry somebody because the person is humble. Those are better qualities that you should look for. The person is kind. The person doesn't have an issue with apologizing. You know, when you have a man who when he's wrong, he's genuinely sorry. And say, I am really sorry for hurting you. You see, when a man can tell you, I am really sorry for hurting you, that thing can help you not to end in psychiatric ward. Yeah, because when you marry a man who cannot be sorry, your chances of visiting the psychiatric ward are very high. You see, because even if he's wrong, you know, we all have problems personally, right? Now, when you marry someone who can't apologize, now, aside from your own personal problem, the person's problem, the person's weaknesses will not be your weaknesses. Because when the person does something wrong and the person doesn't apologize, you will still think something is wrong with you. And then you know you are not at fault. So you are confused. Before you know, the wire that makes you think like a human being will cut. Do you understand? Then you will now be crazy. Then you will now go to the psychiatric ward. They will now give you Valium. Yeah, and Pyrethrum. So don't marry somebody because the person is handsome or the person is tall or the person is well built. You know, a lot of people marry because of these things I'm talking about. You understand? Don't marry a girl because she's drop dead gorgeous. That's DDG. Yeah, drop dead gorgeous. That's DDG. You see, one person you should never marry as a man, I've said the first word of knowledge is what? Yeah, now the second word of knowledge is this. I wrote it down there. This was for the men. Never marry any lady who has some type of sympathy or connection to the current feminist movement. If the wedding is tomorrow, cancel it. You see, because you have married a bone that will stay in your neck forever. Never marry, no matter how much she loves you, no matter how much you love her, even if she's a member of this church. When you notice that your girlfriend or your fiancé has an affiliation with this current feminist, you see, anytime they are talking the feminist thing, you notice that the vein on her right neck comes out. You see, end the relationship. Don't marry her. It will not be well with you. I will not be well with her. There might be somebody else who can marry her. See, any man who is a man of God, and what I mean by that is, who loves the Lord, will naturally be a man who pushes the greatness and the success of women. Yes. A true Christian man can never be somebody who puts a woman down. Never. It's not possible. So, but when you see a woman who, I'm talking about this modern feminist thing. You see, when you see, if you notice it's small, because she's not going to show you everything. But if you see flashes of it, you know, in the days of Paul advised us not to marry people who are unbelievers. You know, that was in his own days. He says, what does light has to do with darkness? What does the temple of God has to do with that of Belial? You know, that's in his own days. Now, in our own days, the darkness is the spirit of the last days. You see, feminism, this current feminism, is an idea of the Antichrist. Do you understand that? It's an idea of what? So it has a spirit. It's not just a mental idea. It has the spirit. So you see, when Paul says don't marry the children of Belial, it's because of the spirit. Now I'm telling you that feminism has another spirit. Now that spirit is anti-scripture. You understand? So you see, you can't be that feminist. You can't be it and still walk with God. Yeah. You know what I'm saying now, what I'm saying is easily. 90% of pastors in Lagos can't say it like this. Because that spirit will not even allow you. What I'm saying is a product of breakthrough, even me myself. Like, it's not an easy thing to say, because the spirit is a bullying spirit. Like, I'm a big boy to be able to say, like, I'm a successful man of God. To be able to say, because even some people are here who carry that spirit. Some ladies are here. Do you understand? So to not to be afraid of the person is a very big thing. You see? Don't marry any. Don't fight the person or just tell the person, we are going two different ways. You understand? I want to break up with you today. We will not talk about it. I want to break up with you. You see, because you are marrying, it's like in your house, there will be two spirits. There will be Holy Spirit and there will be spirit of the world in your house. You see, feminism, and the gay movement, and the extreme Black Lives Matter movement. You see, all those things are tools of the Antichrist in the last days. That's why you can't be a chronic feminist, you see, a real feminist, and at the same time, not be sympathetic towards gay rights. You see, they are in the same WhatsApp group. Because it's the spirit of the... You see, some of you don't know. You see. Some of you embrace these things. You can never be a feminist and have a godly home. Because this, what they wrote in the Bible is anti that spirit. In the scripture you are carrying, they will tell you things like, husband, wife, submit to your husband. And they will also give you example of how Abraham, how Sarah called Abraham Lord. You know, that's anti yours. You can't be a feminist and not cut off some versions of scripture. Because the thing will be annoying you. Before you know, you will say the Bible is misogynist. Misogynist. What's that grammar? Misogynist. Misogynist. You see, anything that has to create new lingua, it's a revelation from the spirit realm. Because revelation is conveyed via language. That's why when you're a feminist, there are things you must say. It's like there is a class where they will now teach you new words. they'll have to teach you new words to use. So what are the words? Patriarchal. You have to, any small thing, you just say, that's been patriarchal. Now, any small thing, it's like a battery is inside you. Yeah. There's language for it. You understand? And then after a while, you won't be a child of God again. Yeah. You know, you don't have apostles who tell you these things. You understand? Because a lot of them have also been carried by the spirit of the age. Do you understand? But this one, as of today, is not yet, you know, carried. Yeah, by the grace of God, you know. Nobody knows tomorrow. Do you understand? By the grace of God. You understand? I'm not sure of myself. I just trust the grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. So after a while, you will not be a Christian again. Yeah. Then you the Holy Spirit will not be at work in your life again. And then you'll be in the danger of hell. Yeah. So those are the two things I said I should say to you. If you are playing around those things or you have friends, you see, it's also a bad sign that your friends are like that. It also means that you are not burning for the Lord. Because those people, you know, one of you should have, whether they fight you or you fight them, the way you guys are still operating is a bad sign. So let me add to that word of knowledge. Do you understand? The first one I said it was the Lord. This one is now my own addition, like a reverse standard version of what the Lord said. And when you are dating a lady whose friends, do you understand, is a feminist? She's not. Whose friends? You know, she's a new recruit. So that one too, you break up with her. I want you, So he said, I want you to break up. You must learn how to break up. You understand? You will say, Diola, I just want to tell you that you and I can no longer continue in this journey. Yeah. You know, I remember one of my guys who broke up many years ago. I was very happy. You know the person I'm talking about? Yes. I was very happy when he broke up. I was very happy. I was praying. I said, God, let this guy break up. But he was still in love. I couldn't tell him. So I had to be praying. I said, God, let this guy break up. Yeah, because the person that he was going to marry was going to become his dealing. And the guy is a good guy. So I said, oh, Lord, let this guy break up. I was praying. They were planning their marriage, but the lady was going to marry told me. He said, please, don't tell him. This marriage thing, I'm just going into it. But I don't think I even want to be married. I don't think I want to marry. I don't have time for all this marriage thing. Now, she told me in the dining table. He said, promise me you won't tell him. I said, I promise you. I said, I promise you. He said, I'm more interested in this marriage thing. And then all this is Jesus things. I'm not there. I'm not like that. Yeah. And then this guy was really, 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 really in love. But God that answers my prayers. God answered my prayer. By the time the guy said he's never doing, I said, this is a great decision you have made in your life. I was now pointing girls to him. I said, that one is a good one. This one is a good one. Yeah. You know, there are some people you can marry without hearing God. I'm telling you. No, I'm telling you. If you see Timmy like this, you don't have to hear God. No, Timmy. If you tell me you want to marry Timmy, I will tell you, don't pray about it. So that Satan will not come and speak to you. You understand? They already, like, they made them as answered prayers. Yeah. Do you understand? Those ones, like, the way God created them, he did not create them as a, you don't need to inquire. They made them. You know, there are some houses like that you don't have to buy furniture. You don't move in. Uh-huh. They are service apartments. So, to me, it's like that. To me, it's like answered. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious. I'm not even joking. You don't even have to. Yeah. Even girls are saying that about him. Yeah. And people like that don't really know. They themselves will not know. They'll be wondering. No, yeah. Praise God. Did you enjoy my word of knowledge?
Yes, sir.
You are meant to thank God. You are not meant to clap. You guys always disgrace me every time. Sometimes a prophet will come and prophesy. You guys will clap. I say, aye, chai. I will send all of you people to Chris Okafor's church there. It's like you like it. You will join the supreme prophet. Oh my goodness. The way fake prophets have been packaging themselves these last days is very serious. If you really want to be original, why don't you just be original? Well, that's by the way. All right, so let's go to how many points have I given us? Can you rehash the points to me? What's the first? No, I'm talking about, all right, love and honor for the pastors, love and honor for the people, love characterized by forgiveness, resourcefulness, and commitment. All right. How many of you have started practicing these things? Are you practicing it or you are just enjoying it? Are you installing it? Let me give you two more. You see, one of the ways we'll grow the church is by publishing the good news. Huh? The Bible talks about how the Lord gave a word and many were those who published it. Give me that scripture. Huh? Publishing the good news. Publishing the good news. You see the story of the... First, give me the scripture I just read now. But it says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the what? Company of those that what? Publish it. You see, one of... Can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that makes a people great is because they publish the good news. Like, when you decide to publish the good news, you will be conferred with the honor called greatness. So it's not like they were great, then they now went to publish. It's that deciding to publish puts greatness on you. Have you noticed that a lot of times the people causing trouble in a nation are not... You see, when you look at the population of Nigeria, we are about how many million? Over 200 million. You see, when Boko Haram started, they were not up to 100,000. Yeah. They were using arrows and stones. You see, but if they decide... Anytime a people decide to publish their news, they will become great. Yeah. It's a mystery. If you decide, you see, all this, when you look at the population of the people changing all our educational system and all of that, they are in the extreme minority. Yeah. I tell you the truth. It's not like they are. It looks like they are plenty. You get the point. You see, it looks like the whole world is going in the direction of darkness. But if you do census and ask people, people are more conservative than they are liberal. People are more conservative. But it's just that the ones who are liberal decided to publish their news. So when you decide to publish your news, you will become great. It's a strange thing. Listen, the people deciding workplace things, educational system, they are in extreme minority. Like, most people are not happy with what's going on. But when you decide to publish, you will become great. Anytime a people take a posture, we are going to publish the news. You see, because most people are not publishing anything. You see, but when the people, no matter how few they are, when they make a decision to publish, now do you know that when you are at the grammar school or anywhere around, and you tell the bike man that you are going to Efoalai, they will automatically almost bring you here. Do you understand? Now, we're not yet in our thousands, but why? It's the publishing. It's that they are hearing the same thing. The church, they are hearing about the church. Before it was, it's now as though everybody knows here. Now, it's not like here is the largest gathering of people. But here is where there is some type of focus here. So when you publish the news there, you become great. Yeah. It is one of the ways to grow a church. It's one of the ways to grow a church. Do you know how many connections a lot of us have made through, WhatsApp status? So, you know this man? You know this person? That's where you go. It's because of what? Publishing the news. You see, that's why the media you know, all the people in the media unit, you see, it is a kind of disgrace, you see, for the pastors to be the ones gingering those in the media unit. It's a disgrace. Because my work is to what? Is to give the word. Now your work is to what? Is to publish it. If you're not publishing it, you are doing disservice to the kingdom of God. Are we together here? You are to publish it in all the possible. You see, Archbishop Benson Dawsa used to share flyers with helicopter. Yes. If Archbishop Benson Dawsa sometimes wants to do a crusade in a state, they will fly helicopter in the airspace of that state and be sharing the flyer, dropping it from helicopter. They don't need the helicopter to share flyer. They can go and pull people to share. You see, but imagine those days, people that have never seen a helicopter before. Like, what is so important that you use a helicopter to share it? But because he chose to publish it as, you see, the way he published it, you will know that this guy must be saying something that is the most serious thing in the whole world. For him to use a helicopter, that means this thing is very, very what? Serious. We have to be aggressive publishers. Eh? What kind of publishers? Aggressive publishers of the good news. The Bible talks about how beautiful is the feet, you see, of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings. It makes your feet beautiful. We have to be publishers. You see, this merchandise is part of publishing the good news. We have to publish the good news. Everything we have must be a tool for what? For publishing the good news. Every tool we have. You know, the church that should be giving the award of the greatest publishers is Christ Embassy. They are masters. You see, when you meet a Christ Embassy person, those days, I think they have even calmed down. When you meet a Christ Embassy person, it's like you would have to pray to God to find out whether even the church you are going to, maybe it's even a church. Because the Christ Embassy person doesn't make you think you have got a church yet. And when a Christ Embassy person is talking to you, you see, you cannot have the guts of inviting a Christ Embassy person to your church. You see, that is not part of the conversation. You're a Christ Embassy. You can't have the guts. You tell a Christ Embassy person, we are doing conference. It will tell you to calm down first. You see, one day, one Christ Embassy guy was talking to me. And then, you see, and every Christ Embassy member, my God. You see, every Christ Embassy member, you will never meet a Christ Embassy member that doesn't know how to preach. Never. It's not possible. I've not met one Christ Embassy member that cannot preach as if it's Oya Kilome preaching. Hey! Do you know who you are? God is living inside of you. And you will never see them preach things that contradict. The Christ Embassy person in Port Harcourt is saying the same thing. They are publishers. And if you think he's joking, wait for him. After 2 years, you would have seen that that guy has palm his hair and pastoring a church. You see, with wicked suit. With wicked suit. That boy that you thought is an unserious boy walking all around. Very soon, his hair, he will palm his hair with wicked suit serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I've never seen publishers like them before. Praise God. And I have never seen a church as attacked as them in my own since I started, you know, when I got saved. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you see, I have also never seen a church that kept on growing. The way people were attacking them, they kept on growing and growing to the point where it was as if the attack is a blessing. Yeah. And they have built an ecosystem that is now the people who attack them that need them. You see, if Jesus raptures the old church and says Christ Embassy should form the new earth that the other ones should, Christ Embassy can do fine without any church. Like they need nothing from anyone. We are the ones begging them to give us their musicians, begging them to teach us many things. They don't even, you see, Christ Embassy doesn't even need Facebook. Yeah. They have WhatsApp. Christ Embassy has their own WhatsApp. For chat, chat. What's the name? Yokos. Yeah. The King's chat. They have their own satellite. They have their own app. And they can do a meeting. You hear 1 billion views. And you are wondering, where are the people viewing it from? Where? They say, where are they viewing it from? They are, no Facebook, no YouTube. They have their own installations, their own stuff. So it means that when a people have become a people, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. And other great publishers are the winners. Winners. Even the old winners member, old people, you see them every weekend, evangelism. And they will give you that flyer. And their strength is testimony. When you look at the back, they come and receive your own testimony. You read about the person who has not had a job for 3 years, got a job, reproach of 8 years. You know, in Christ my head, like reproach was cancellation of reproach. Publishers. You know, we're not talking about we're talking about how to grow a church, like how to be great as a church. There is a way to that. And you know, when you are like this and you are going to be criticized, yeah, because most people are going nowhere. You see, when you decide to go somewhere, you will be criticized. There's no, because most people want you to be with them. Let all of us not go anywhere. When you decide to go somewhere, your behavior will change. Yes. Your focus will change. Yeah. I tell you the truth. When the day you decide to be something in life, it's just like you. Now, maybe you don't know book and you decide that you want to know book. You know, you have to change your friends. Yes. Because you have to read more. You have to do more things. You won't have time for other things. It's like that. See, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. When you take a decision to be a publisher, you are going to be great. You get it? We put the messages everywhere. We are just. I have a belief that one of the solutions to people's problem is for them to attend church. Like that's one of my prescription. So you have a problem. Come on Sunday. And that is how we should see it. Are you with me? How many of you got a lot of your problems solved by just being here? Your problem just solved. Yeah. It's the truth. So don't be quiet about it. Be a what? Be a publisher. Media. I have a lot of units in that. Let's not be satisfied. We have to be publishers. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We have to be what?
Publishers.
There's one pastor, there's one prophet in Abuja. Hey, they are publishers. There's one prophet. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, when that man preaches, when he preaches on Sunday, an hour after his message, there are already five courts for 4 minutes, three minutes of that same Sunday. And you see, and all those courts are going the same direction of what he's trying to push every Sunday. They are crazy people. If you see the headline they will put on that court, you must listen to what he's saying. Yeah, those are publishers. You see, one of the things extreme spirituality did to us, you see, is that it disarmed us from being publishers. Whenever you want to be a publisher, you are feeling carnal.
Yes.
Say, you know, the Lord will announce us in his time and his season. And then you find out that the Lord doesn't have any whistle or anything that as you lay your bed. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Am I recruiting publishers? This
yes,
you have to be passionate about publishing the good news. You see that woman that Jesus spoke to in John chapter, is it 4 now? The whole city, she got the whole city with a passion. Listen, people are doing nothing. They are not serious. Get them to something serious. Are we together here? Number, I don't know number now. 7, mission focused. Mission focused. We have to be mission focused. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have what? They have addicted themselves. If you are looking for an addiction, this is the addiction God permits. Huh? What have they done? They have addicted themselves. If you have ever been addicted before, you've had an addiction before. Let me see. I want you to tell me the signs. Can you tell me the signs of addiction? You can't do without it. You're always thinking of. Even you are just, you sneak out. Awesome. You want to tell me something about? Tell me something about addiction.
I used to wake up in the midnight in the boarding house to go to the games room.
Wow.
To go and play. It wasn't allowed. We were doing it just like three of us.
But there are schools and there are schools. Who... Like the game house is in the school.
Yes, in the hostel. All so.
Right. Forgive your daddy. Forgive your.
Yeah.
Because some of you are shocked that.
And yeah, it got so bad. On the day we were picking our courses for like final set or almost like from GS3 to SS1, I was playing the game while everyone else was picking their courses with them. So yeah, it was just terrible.
Unfortunately, oh, was addicted to something.
So it's like a drug.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, if you don't engage in it, you will be like, you will feel sick.
Wow.
So it's once you do it or once you, whatever activity it is, it's like a relief, it's like a high.
Wow.
So in that 5 minutes,
wow,
you've almost like experienced heaven.
Wow.
And then you can run for another, maybe 1 day, 2 days, and then it reactivates again.
Wow.
And then, so be, and when it reactivates, it comes up like a sickness, sort of how you have malaria. And so that's the only thing that makes sense for that period. No, no advice, no counsel. Why? Because in your mind, you figured out the wiring of it. You figured out the way your system operates. So, you know, once I've injected this stuff,
wow,
I'm there. And then the worst deception is that let me inject myself first, then go find the answer. And then it becomes a cycle like that until you are favored enough to meet someone whose words have the anointing to break the speech you are hearing in your system.
Wow.
Because I promise you, you listen to 1,000 people talk about that same process and none of it will have effect.
Wow.
You know that what you are doing is not a solution. You know it. It's not like you don't know. You know you are aware. But if you don't encounter that grace for the right person to talk to you, it's just a cycle.
Wow.
And it does not show on the face for some people anyway.
Who else wants to say this? All right. All right. Let's go.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, addiction is like a trait you pick and it appears like your life, your whole life depends on,
wow,
on it. And at any point in time, there is a cutoff. It's like your life stops or you stop to exist. This is practically. So it's just automatically keep you in that state where you keep a repeated trend on it because you feel like that's your sustaining power.
Wow.
Yeah. And like you said, if anybody that attempt to cut off it is an enemy. Yeah, you see the person as an enemy, like you're trying to disengage or disembowel me from my source. You get so when they now say ministry becoming an addiction, then you know it's a deep thing.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Let me hear Kenny.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yeah, two things. There's a foundational mindset you have about the addiction, which will keep you there. And there's something you are looking at the end of the addiction when you do it, what you're going to derive. Those two things will keep you addicted to it. And that's how it's connected to the ministry. There's something you are seeing about the ministry that is keeping you there. And that's a foundational mindset. And there's a result you want to get by doing that ministry. That's the end result.
Onkulos. I tell you, this is the addiction God permits. But you see, Stephanos' own is worse. Stephanos is that, it's not like ministry addicted him. Stephanos decided, just it's another level. He says, they have addicted themselves. Are you with me? They have what? They have addicted themselves to the... You see, there's something about addiction. Eh? Addiction is the owner of your time. Yeah. Yeah. That's why, you see, when you are addicted, you are also... What's the opposite of addicted? To be addicted. What's the extreme? When you are addicted, you are also withdrawn. That's why you can't be addicted to drugs and your life will not spoil. It's not possible. You see, because that addiction will make you withdraw from the other things that are important in life. That's why those who are addicted will not have a good family life. They will lose their family. They will lose a lot of things. The only thing you will have is that useless thing. It's just that you find that your life is powder. Like that powder you are taking. That's you in the end, your life will be a stick. Because you will withdraw from everything. Are you together with me? So when the Bible says Stephanus was addicted to ministry, it means that there are some things that he's also withdrawn from. You know, it sounds like what Paul told Timothy, that a soldier cannot entangle himself with civilian affairs. Are you with me? My addiction to ministry is also what has made me withdraw from many other things. And that's why I can't be close to anyone who also is not addicted to the ministry. You know, because I'm not there. We have to all be what? Addicted. Because that's where we are spending our time and our resources. That's why I'm making my children also get quickly addicted to the ministry. So what excites them also must be, I like when I see them fighting. You see, they fight to come to church. They cry. They say, I want to come. I say, no, you can't come with me today. Please, they want to go to church. I'm happy. They cry. Every time we're coming to church, they cry when we don't take them along. You see, because they also are getting what? Addicted. And they will. My son will rehearse everything that was taught in church, everything, and they will practicalize it in the house. Will practicalize it. He will use it to even scam me. And say, "This is what you preached. So day, this is what you preached." Sometimes when he does something wrong, he takes something. I say, "Why do you take it?" I say, "Ah." Told me, said the temptation. He said, "Daddy, it's temptation. I could not overcome the temptation." The other day, he was flogged. His mother flogged him, and I was telling him why. And he came and said, "Why are you always beating me? Why? Why? They always beating me." I was not explaining to him, "What did you do?" I said, "If you didn't do it, would they beat you?" I said, "So based on what you have done now, do you think you deserve to be beaten?" He said, "Yes." He said, "But I also deserve to be forgiven." He said, "I also deserve to be forgiven." Oh my goodness. So addicted to the ministry. You have to be addicted to the ministry. Are you with me?
Yes,
you have to be addicted to the ministry. You see, when a man is addicted to something, you are the one thinking that he's stressing himself to get it. You see, when a man is addicted, he can walk. If he's sure he can get that thing somewhere, he can walk to go and get that thing. Now you think, why is this man stressing himself? But you see, because of the joy set ahead of him, you see, he can endure the cross and despise the shame. When you are also addicted to the ministry, sometimes the reason why you are tired is because you are not addicted. Yeah. I'm addicted to the ministry. You understand? I'm addicted to the ministry. It's a good addiction. Are you with me? I have addicted myself to the ministry. And when I mean ministry, I'm not talking preaching alone. I'm talking to serve the Lord. Listen, it is not a good thing not to be addicted to the ministry. It's a very bad thing. Now, we have raised a people who are not addicted to the ministry. And that's why the people are not accepting the gospel. You see, for anybody to accept the gospel, it must mean something to the preacher himself. I don't know if you're getting it must mean something to the person telling me about it. If it's not meaning something, do you know your commitment to the ministry is already a message to people? Yeah. Like they're wondering, what is about this thing? What is about this thing that this person is always all about? Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
We have to be addicted to the ministry. Always talking about the ministry. Always serving the ministry. Always available, serving the Lord. Listen, if you are not serving the Lord, you are serving something else. Are you with me? You must train your whole household. You see, the prophet said, I am my household. I am my family. What will we do? Oh, serve the Lord. Everybody must serve the Lord. It must be a culture. Oh, how I love Redeem. The Redeemers are addicted. I don't know about now, but when I got saved, I had some Redeem people upstairs in my house. Every Sunday, they've woken up. Sometimes by 4. We'll be hearing the sound. Hey, Bookie, shorty, they are moving helter skelter. That man was my first Sunday school teacher. He was one who bought me my first Bible. Huh? It's in Solid Rock. You see, before 6, they already left the house because they have to be at workers' meeting. Workers' meeting is around maybe, I think, 6:30 or thereabout, or 6:10. Workers' meeting. And before you can be a worker, you have gone through stuff. You will first do believers' class for 3 months, 3 or 6 months, I can't remember. I just know it's 16 topics. The last topics are the time where you'll be learning about the millennium reign. The book is small like this. I think it's blue or green. Green. Yeah, small chunkolo book like this, but loaded. With you have book where you'll be doing your assignment. The first topic is new birth. Then after you have done it, they will now pick a day for all of you to do deliverance. Because we do not know whether, I know you are born again, but a demon can still be locking somewhere. Then they will now do deliverance. Is deliverance like, is that day is for casting out of the devils that remain in you, that have not gone. Then they will now do that deliverance. And some of that deliverance, they can take people somewhere for maybe 2 days, 3 days. After that deliverance, then you are a worker. No. You are a believer. You are a Christian. Yeah. You see? Then after that, you will now do... No. What kind of training is divided into two? The first one is discipleship. Yeah, it's divided into two. After that discipleship class, you will now do workers in training. I remember the GD discipleship class, did workers training for like 6 months. The last day, he came late. So they sent him away to now start afresh. Yes. He came maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes late. So now start afresh. You see, you'll be going like this. One or part of your shirt will be out of it. Who are you? That's how we grew up. All this thing we are doing is not the church of God. It's God forgive. It's not. You wake up and you are born again. You are speaking in tongues. You wake up anytime you like. You go to church anytime you like. You should do. I'm sorry. All those people.
Yeah.
Now, the person that will teach you is not necessarily anointed because you might sleep throughout the class. You see, that's inconsequential. You might sleep all through. The person teaching you is not necessarily. In fact, the person teaching you might not like. The person might be your neighbor. I had one teacher who buys Gouda inside Ragoli's bottle. Yeah, Gouda. inside Agolis bottle so that people would not know. The man can shock it, but he's a Sunday school teacher. That's your business. You have to get to class early. He said, you see, today... I tell you. You see, that's why they are able to sustain that revival. I tell you the truth. That's why they are doing, they're able to do at the level that they are doing. You have to be addicted to the ministry. Then after you have done all of that, after a while, if you are very committed, then you now go and do school of discipleship, which is also like a school of ministry, kind of. Then from there, you can now start becoming something, deacon, Abby. After deacon, I think AP and all of that. If you are very anointed or you have something, they can just make you all-time minister. Or you just be taking one or two announcements. Then you do go out fishing. Then at any time tea, when they want to start a new church, they'll just pack some of you. Maybe some of you workers that you have been misbehaving. Just pack you, 8 of you. Give you small drum and keyboard. Then you will struggle for some years to become area. You will be an area. You will jubilate. What if we are area? What if we are area? Yeah. That is the essence of life. Yeah, it's a major reason to be alive. I tell you the truth. Serving the Lord. All this English that we are speaking doesn't make any sense. Are we together here? And you see, you go to some of those churches, the people that were there 30 years ago, they are still there. Like, they are still there in Sunday school department. And some of them, they've had 20 HODs. New people who they made their HOD, they are still there. It's just their face that is getting older. The face is getting stronger because it's now about 35 years. It's not the same face. But the brother is still there, serving the Lord. I said, serving the Lord. Yes, I said, serving the Lord. What should a young man be doing and a young woman if not serving the Lord? That's the essence of life. Listen, any other dream you are having, is a deception. It's a deception. And there are people 1 million times greater than you in the flesh who are busy serving the Lord. There's one old man in Apostle Harry Ogun's church. Gray, fully gray, big like the Uweagbada, is standing as a protocol whilst the man is preaching. Old man. I said, this is how I want to be when I grow old. I want to be old serving the Lord. Huh? I saw a video of two old men who were praising God and dancing in church. And I said, God, this is how I want to age. I want to be old dancing in church with my children. Yeah. Serving the Lord. Now, we will do many other things, though, but those things will not be what defines us. Yes. We'll be on global platforms. We'll do the... But that's not what defines us. Yes. You know why? Because our blood, our blood has been changed. You see, we have a different blood. So what really excites them is not what excites us. Huh? So Stephanus' family, we see, have addicted themselves to the ministry. I want to ask you, have you addicted yourself to the ministry? I can't hear your answer.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Have you addicted yourself to the ministry?
Yes, sir.
I have addicted myself to the ministry. Are you with me? I'm not going to be doing anything with my life but serving the Lord. And it's not because I'm a pastor. I'm just addicted to the ministry. I have addicted. You see, I have told myself that the work of God, the local assembly, is the most important thing in life. I have told myself. And then I have committed myself to it. You see, the other day, someone came to see me in the house. And I anointed the person, prayed for the person. And after the person left, my daughter came to meet me. I said, "Daddy, please, can you anoint me?" I said, "You want to?" He said, "Please anoint me." She came upstairs to tell you. That what? I said, "Okay, I will anoint you, woman." So I told her to kneel down. In fact, she knelt down herself. And I took the anointing oil. And I anointed her. And I prayed for her. And then she was so happy. She was so excited. Those are the sights that your children should be seeing. Stop taking them to parties where they are dancing evil dances. Don't be happy that your child is winning dancing competition. Are you with me? No, listen, some of them will be dancers. Wait, but I want you to, what I'm saying is some of them will be dancers. Some of them love dancing. But I'm telling you that make something else more superior. That's my point. I'm not saying your children shouldn't dance. Let them dance. But be careful of the kind of parties you take them to. Don't take them to those bad parties. What's a bad party? A bad party is where the parents don't have sense. Where there is no sensibility in the type of songs. There's no carefulness. Protect your children. You get the point? Let your children love the child. Listen, what you give your child, you will find out that they will love it. Yeah. You will just notice that they love the word of God. The other day, was it Major? Major is your son, right? No. Joshua. No, yours is Joshua. Whose son is Major? I was doing a teaching. And then I was hearing the responses of Major, his desires, his passion. They are not normal desires and normal passion. We can get them there. And doing that when they are children is the best time. It's the best time. Reach them first. Reach your children first before anyone reaches them. Listen, they don't know God yet. Oh. Be like God that they know. Yeah, be like the God. That's why I tell my children, I will never tell you a lie. I tell them, I say, I will never lie to you. And when I do something good, I say, you see what I did? I'm your father. I have powers to do things. Sometimes I make them feel like I have all the money. I say, you need this. Your father has a lot of money. Just tell me what you need. Because they have not yet met God. You see, so they have to meet a kind of God. And then that person who is a kind of God will not be the one telling them about God. So get them. The Bible says that we should train up a child in the way that he should go. That when he grows, that means we can start training them before they grow. Like a lot of you will wait for your child to grow. Then you now say, he can't learn now. No, it's when he is old or when he grows old. So we can train the child before they grow old. Are you with me? You can train a child before the child grows old. He says he will not depart from it. So you need to be addicted to something. Addicted to serving the Lord. Addicted to the ministry. Let things like evangelism, Bible study, let it be the theme of your home. Ask your children, what did you learn today? Make it interesting. Make it exciting. Are we together here? Yes, sir. I love what I'm hearing them pray in other tongues. Beautiful. Not that your children are singing all the Davido song, all the Wizkid song. Those things have spirits in them. They have spirits. Yeah, sometimes you don't even know when lust entered your child. Do you think those songs are not without spirits? They have spirits in them. Your child carries lust. You didn't even know your child has carried lust. Because everything he was hearing is, whine it for me, baby, whine it for me. Yeah. You see, A lot of men, a lot of men don't have the ability to see a woman outside a sexual value. You understand? When most men see women, what they are imagining is how sexy she is. You see, because that's like the primary idea of who a woman is to them. That was what was installed in their soul from childhood. So they can't see a woman as a human being. They see a woman as the object that describes sexuality, something like that. Most men, that after you are saved, you now have to start, even as a man, you have to start erasing it, that a woman is a creation of God. You know, most, you see, 90% of men, when they see a woman, they are thinking sexuality. I tell you the truth. That's why you have to be careful with all men. You see, all. There is no man you should not be careful around. All men. I'm talking including of apostles and prophets. You need to be careful of what? All men. Never put yourself in a position. Do you understand? Don't think we are all, you understand, we are all brothers and sisters. Maybe you go and visit a man, you sleep on his bed. You just lie down, you say, we're all brothers and sisters. No. We're not. If you do anyhow, you will most likely. So when you're around a man, you have to be careful. You understand? You have to be careful when you're around a man. Every man, do you understand? All the men. I was going to join somebody recently, and I told the lady, I had to call this person, but I'm the one joining you. I said, please tell your chief bride, I don't know the plan, but tell your chief bridesmaid, you see, that the breast should not be out, just in case. Do you understand? Because when I'm joining, I want to be focused. Do you understand? I don't want to be joining and you know, seeing breasts and trying to tell myself it's just breasts. I'm a man of God. No. So I told her, I said, you have to. I will not join people who are not well-dressed. Do you understand? Because I'm like doing you a favor. You cannot now do me bad. You understand? I'm doing you a favor. Are we together here? So that's why, you see, one of the signs that you have the spirit of the age at work in you as a girl is indecent dressing. You see, boys, never marry a Christian who dresses indecently, no matter how much tongues they speak. When you find out that a girl's breast doesn't matter to her, like she opens some part of it, no matter the tongues, she carries the spirit of the age. Because there is a group of people who are behaving saved, but are not saved. You see, you can't be saved and naked. It's a very, very important thing to the Holy Spirit, how we dress. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
It's like I say things that I shouldn't say, right?
No.
I say things I should say. So you have to be addicted to the ministry. The last one I wanted to talk about, I don't know if there's time for it. All right, maybe I should just do 5 extra minutes. Amen.
Amen.
So that's number what now? You have to be of one mind. You see that in Philippians chapter 2. I think starting from verse 2, I guess. You have to be what? I can't hear you. You have to be of what? Of one mind. If you want to grow, Papa Ayo is in the house. Papa Ayo is in the house. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. All right, you can have your seat. So this is the final point. If we want to grow that church, that house that God would have us grow, you have to be of what? Of one mind. Eh? You see, this is like a very... Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I just have 10 more minutes. This is like a very beautiful, it's a beautiful divine technology. It's a very amazing technology of one mind. Philippians chapter 2 verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy. Huh? What did he say? Fulfill ye my joy. So it means that it's as though Paul has, let me explain this to you. It's like Paul has a type of joy that is in hope form. You get my point? Like he has something that will make him joyful. You know, all of us have some things that make us joyful. All of us have. And even in marriage, you see, let me tell you something quickly about marriage. You see, in marriage, one of the ways you can quickly have a good marriage, like quickly, generally it takes time to have a great marriage. But one of the ways you can like hasten it is come out of yourself. Like come out of yourself and find out. You see, because you are a good person, because you're a child of God, you have the assumption that what you count as good or great is what your partner counts as good as great. And so, because your intentions are so right, you struggle to force. You see, when it comes to food, I pray that God will help my wife. You know, and I'm saying it publicly. You see, not to be stressing me. You see, when my wife sees a very nice food, maybe she's eating something nice, she can run from upstairs, downstairs, and then she tells me to taste. And you know, there are some days where your tongue has no plan to taste. You're not in pepe mode. You know, it's as though if pepe touches your tongue. I don't know if you have felt that way before. Like, you are not just in the mood for pepe. I'm telling you. That is when my wife will have one stew. She'll say, Kai, Isaac, you need to taste this stew. And then my wife can say, just taste it now. Stop being adamant. She will force me. Then I'll take it. No, I really do. I'll say no. Sometimes you don't want anything sweet. You don't want ice cream. You don't want ice cream. Not like you ate ice cream generally. But that day, ice cream will not cut it. I know there are some days, you know exactly what you want. Like, you can't give me anything else. And the day you see that thing, there is a kind of joy. You know, recently I made a particular, I got a particular fish. That fish had been my joy. Like, I've been imagining that fish. Because when I was younger, I used to take that fish a lot. So I was dreaming that fish. So I saw that fish suddenly, you see. And then I got that fish. You see, when I got home, I didn't tell my wife to maybe help me cook the fish. Like, I just got to the house. I started cleaning the fish myself. It was like a project. Like, I just, you know, I was cleaning the fish. And the fish was still breathing. It was still breathing when I go. It was still breathing. So it was exciting me. I cleaned the fish. I caught it. I bought pepper. You see, I bought three. You don't get. Pepper that can cook soup for the family. I bought it in three different bags. I don't know. Maybe as I'm coming, one bag can fall down. You know, just to mitigate. I don't know where Satan wants to come from. So I bought three different bags of pepper. My wife, you know, so I told my wife, I'm getting home now. I bought something I'm going to eat and all of that. Guess what my wife told me? She said, okay. But if you see the fried rice I've made for her. She had made one amazing fried rice. She said, well, but I know you really want this. I will make you have it, but I wish you can have this fried rice. So I got home and I started the soup and all of that. And then some people were in the house who helped me out. We did it together. Then, I don't know, you know when you are trying to be a good husband? So I ate the fried rice. But when the food was now ready, My stomach was full. So I was alone in the parlor thinking, what shall I do, oh God? Are you listening to this story? Very important story. I said, what shall I do, oh God? So I got up. I said, well, I'm the man of this house. Like, I'm the father now. I don't have to eat with eba or amala. I can just go and take soup with the fish. Like, I'm the head of the home. So immediately I remember that I'm the head of the home. I went to the kitchen and I took the plate. I was about taking the fish. Then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. I said, but you are full. Why are you forcing yourself? Ah. So I dropped the spoon. I dropped this. The person said, you're not taking again. I said, So I dropped it. I went. I told them to pack it in the freezer. The next day, I came back. And I said, all right, that food now, bring it. But when I was about eating, I now asked the person who was sitting beside me, have I eaten today? The person said, yes, you have. Because I was feeling, my stomach was full. But I rushed it because, you know, I remember the Spirit of God spoke to me the next day. I didn't want the Spirit of God to speak to me again. So I rushed it. You see, I had a joy that was in hope form. You see, when I get that fish, that joy will be fulfilled. So Paul is like begging the people that there is a joy I'm not yet experiencing. Can you help me fulfill this joy? And this great apostle said, what will fulfill that joy is that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Same love. Do you know what it means to have the same love? To have the same love means that I don't have the ability to not love you. That's what I mean. The same love. Like, there is no ability not to love you. You see, it's like a dog, not in love with his puppy. Do you know we are the ones that know that this particular puppy is more formed than this particular puppy? And that this one has the year. This is the original Boabu year. You know, the mother doesn't know all of that. The mother doesn't have the ability to love them, to not to love his puppies, because they carry what? The same love. So it's like Paul is reminding us that there is something in you, in Tunde, you see, that is meant to be in Toby. I don't even get the point.
Yes, sir.
Now, this thing that's in Toby is meant to be in Jones. You know what that means? It means that whatsoever Tunde wishes for himself, Tunde will wish it for Toby. And Toby wishes what Tunde wishes for him. He wishes it for Jones. And Jones wishes it for who? For Chris. And Chris wishes it for Tosin. And so there is a corporate wish that is born out of love, that what I have, Laulu must have it. There's just this love that when I see him, I see me. And when I see me, I see him. You see, it's the same love. Like, it is just enough that we're members of this church. Just being members of this church, there must be the same love. You see, one guy was telling me a story. He was on the Todd Mainland Bridge. He says that one particular car was awning. He said the man was awning. He says an old man. He says, and the man was waving. He said, wondering, is anything bad with my car? He said, when he wound down, he now heard the man greeting him with the slang of their old student association. He said, because he used the car of somebody who went to that school. And so the sticker is there. So this man is in love with somebody because of sticker. He doesn't know the guy. You see, the guy is a young man. This man was in his 60s. But he was in love with a young boy because the young boy has a sticker of a school. Because somehow they share some type of love. Oh my goodness. That is even a weak example of the type of love that should go on with ourselves. If I don't want to be condemned, then I won't want to condemn you. Like every good I want for myself, I don't want otherwise for you. That is what it means to have what? The same love. The same love. We are just like the same thing. We're of one mind, one accord. Huh? Isn't this an amazing thing? Like this is one of the most amazing points I'm telling you today. Because Jesus Christ said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples. When what? When ye love one another. Isn't this amazing, friends? Friends, isn't this amazing? Now, when we practice this, do you think that there is going to be a possibility of lack in our midst? You know why there's lack? There's no love. When there is love, there can never be lack. Sharing becomes automatic. Sharing becomes a privilege. Like, I'm privileged to share with you because how I see me is how I see you. This is amazing, isn't it? This is the kingdom, isn't it? Are you not privileged to be part of this? Huh? Are you not privileged to be part of this? Are you not grateful to God? What if you held somebody and you just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Can you thank him? Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, at this moment, let me say this. At this moment, I have a faith. I have a faith now. There is a faith supplied to me now that if we hold hands and pray for ourselves, that God will answer every prayer. I just have that belief. Can you ask God that whatever is paramount to your brother's heart, at this moment, God, answer their heart, answer their prayer. Let's practice it. You don't pray for yourself. You don't pray for yourself. Let's pray. Let's pray because of love. Don't pray for yourself. Allow your brother pray for you and see what God will do in the coming days and the coming weeks. Oh Lord, whatever is in the heart of my brother, whatever my brother desires, whatever my sisters are desiring, answer them, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. We bring every request to you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are heirs of the Father. We are joiners with the Son. We are children of the kingdom.
We are family. We are one.
Come on.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joined
with the Son.
We are children
of this kingdom. We are family.
We are one. Son.
We are children
of this kingdom.
His kingdom. We are family. We are one.
The last time we are heirs of the Father.
We are heirs
of the Father.
Of the Father.
We are joined.
We are joined. The song.
We are children.
We are children.
On this kingdom.
We are family.